Hello and welcome to a new cycling season. It's 2022. It is the Australian Road Race, and I am delighted to be joined by Chris Harper of Team Jumbo Visma. Chris, how are you today?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. Thanks for having me on, having a chat.
Your debut, that must be one of the bucket list items ticked off.
Yeah, going right, and slaving for the weekend.
Yeah, so we're looking at the road race, we're looking at the Buninyong Circuit in Ballarat, one that all cycling fans know incredibly well. It's been the same circuit that's been used for, God, it's over 10 years, just about. I think there was a slight change maybe 3 years ago, but nothing too much. So most of the circuit, most people focus on the climb itself. So we're talking, what is it, it's about 2.9 kilometres at 5.3%. So it doesn't actually sound that much when you talk about the actual numbers of it. When you're riding 16 laps, how does it feel when you're on kind of lap 15, lap 16? How hard does the climb become then?
Yeah, I think that's the thing is, yeah, when you look at it one time, it's nothing special, but I think the accumulation of sort of fatigue throughout the day is what makes it so challenging. Yeah, you really start to see sort of hits a certain point, and then a lot of guys, you know, maybe the race hasn't been that hard, but guys just start to fatigue in that back end of the race. And yeah, I think that's what always makes it sort of an interesting race.
So you've got the first kind of main section up the main road, which I think is the easier kind of, it's almost split into two parts, isn't it? And then once you turn left,
yeah,
It starts to kind of ramp up. It hits about kind of 7%. It's been a while since we've seen anybody attack on the kind of main road section.
Yeah.
Is it kind of worth just waiting for the kind of steeper section?
Yeah, I mean, some guys have sort of gone on the first bit. I mean, when you turn left from out of Buninyong, it sort of kicks up for a bit and then it flattens out and we go through our feed zone. And then, yeah, it sort of goes a bit downhill once you turn left and then kicks up again for the sort of main bit of the climb, which is, yeah, definitely the last little bit of the climb's the hardest. So, yeah, that's normally where you see people make their move.
We're talking, I think the weather's to be about 27 degrees, kind of maximum. The wind is a very kind of light tailwind going up the climb. The weather shouldn't really have a big impact. I think I've seen hotter editions of the race.
Yeah. No, for sure. I think, yeah, maybe 3 or so years ago it was quite hot, which, yeah, it's just another, I mean, when it's hot, hot I like, but most people don't like. Yeah, you really see people struggle quite a bit when it's been a hot day.
What's the downhill section like?
It's quite good going through the uni, I think. I mean, in the past, we used to sort of just go straight back down the climb into Buninyong. But going through the uni, I think, yeah, it adds another little sort of element to it, especially early on in the race. Yeah, there's a few more opportunities, I'd say, for people to sort of try to get away if you're not the strongest on the climb or something. There's definitely a bit more opportunity to make a move on one of these sections that we're looking at here. So, yeah, I think it is a bit more interesting than just going straight back down Gear Avenue, I think it's called.
And I think you...
But, yeah.
Did you not make a kind of move on this very short uphill section last year, was it?
I don't think I did. I think...
Was it
maybe
Kyle O'Brien made the move and you followed him?
Yeah, I think a couple of years ago I've made a move on the main straight coming back in to... Maybe two years in a row I've actually done it. Yeah, on this sort of section I've made a move. I think maybe 3 years ago, and then that's the year I think it was me, Alex Edmondson, Luke Durbridge and Michael Freeberg. I think we sort of went from this long flat section, because for a while here it's a bit of a false flat, and it's normally really strung out coming through the university with all the corners and that. It's normally just single file, and then you come out of here and there's sort of a big lull. So I think, yeah, even 2 years ago, I think I made a move here as well. So yeah, it's another good spot where you can make a move without it being on the climb.
Do you think that's the beauty of the route? I know the organisers get a little bit of stick from the faster sprinter kind of Australian riders. I think my own personal opinion is that the route's a good one because you can attack in so many different places. The winning move really goes on the climb.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that as well. I can understand as well people saying, oh, it's the same thing over and over. We want to see something different. But I also think you can't really, well, for my mind, I can't really think of too many years where I've watched the race or been in the race and be like, oh, that was bloody boring. Like, you know, everyone just cruised along for a couple hundred K and then it came down to a sprint, or no one did anything until the last bit of the race sort of thing. And also, yeah, I can understand the faster guys maybe don't like it as much, but at the same time, you know, Heinrich Hausler's won here, pretty quick guy. Caleb Ewan's got around in the front group before when he's been in really good shape. So, I mean, quicker guys can get around this course as well if it's the right day. And yeah, I guess you need a little bit of luck for it all to come back together in the last bit of the race.
You mentioned last year, I mean, your result of 10th doesn't really do it justice. I mean, I watched the race back again today. You looked so strong. And then on the last lap, you just kind of blew. Obviously, you'd fired too many bullets previously. What do you remember back from last season?
Last year I was definitely in good shape for it. I just went really hunger flat within like 1K, I was feeling super strong. And then all of a sudden I was like, oh, pretty much just shut down, went completely empty going up the climb. But yeah, last year, like most year, well, the last 2 years has been probably a bit more challenging for me being just a solo rider and bike exchange. And normally so got so much depth within their roster, it sort of, sometimes have to do a bit more than what I'd like to do just to sort of feel like I'm still in the race. Whereas, this year that's probably going to be a lot different, which will be interesting.
So the dynamic this year has totally changed. Bike Exchange with Ivory, they've just got three guys. You've got a teammate, Rowan Dennis, who's just put in a huge performance to win the time trial. You've got Chris Hamilton from DSM as a solo. You've got Luke Platt from Ineos as a solo. And then you've got Bridger Lane, who have got eight guys. Are you slightly concerned about your old team having so many extra riders compared to the bigger teams, or do you think the quality of the World Tour riders will kind of shine through?
I wouldn't say the Bridge Lane guys are all very strong riders in their own right. And yeah, you got to remember, Rowan and I were just talking about it this morning, for a lot of Aussie riders, and particularly for Rowan and myself before we turned professional, you know, this was the race to be good at and make uni SA and try and get yourself a professional contract. So there's definitely a big emphasis on them doing well here. You can never discount anybody from teams like that. They could all do really well, but yeah, I think as well they're, particularly Bridge Lane, they've got a couple good guys that can get a good result here, and then I think they'll just try race it in a way, not to be conservative, but yeah, try put those guys in a good position to do something later on in the race.
Because they've got Nick White, who's a local who won the under 23 race a couple of years ago, who was fourth last year, who rode a great race. Jimmy Whelan, who is coming back from World Tour after 3 years at EF, who again was he kind of rejoined the front group at the end last season. How do you go about planning tactics with yourself and Rowan for a race like this?
Yeah, I mean, Rowan and I haven't actually talked about what we want to do in the race yet. So we're going to have a chat about that. But yeah, I think it's, in previous years, it's sort of been trying to work out what bike exchange would do a little bit and then, you know, make your decision on how you race towards that, which obviously this year I don't think will be a factor. I think the race is probably more open than what I've ever raced it. So it'll be interesting to see how like Bridge Lane won a race having the numerical advantage over other teams. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they want to try do, whether they want to try put anyone under put bike exchange or put Rowan and I under pressure early on to try and make a move and spend some energy. But yeah, I'll have to see how Rowan wants to ride it as well. Maybe he wants to do a 160K solo TT. You don't know.
it's such a hard one to call, isn't it? Because looking at the World Tour teams, there's only one, and I don't want to sound disrespectful to him, there's only one kind of true domestique in the World Tour teams, and that's Callum Scottson of Bike Exchange, who is also a good rider, don't get me wrong, but he looks like the domestique. Now, if the breakaway goes and you guys miss it and there's only one guy left to chase, it doesn't look very good. So is this a year for the breakaway, the morning breakaway?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, yeah, for sure. It's definitely, it looks that way when you think there's no bike exchange with 10 riders who can have three of them peel if they need to fix something. So yeah, for sure in that sense. And I think, obviously Cam and Luke are so smart themselves. I'm sure, I don't think they'll get themselves into a position where they miss something, but you never know.
And Meyer is, I think, he broke his hand in November, so he's saying his form isn't quite as good as he would like it to be or where he wants it to be, which puts a lot of pressure on Durbridge's shoulders. You've got young Luke Plapp, who was incredible last year in blue because he went too early, but then he's been isolating recently. Everything just seems a little bit up in the air, and it is very hard to kind of think how the race is going to develop. Do you think you should go for the break? Or will you just see how it develops in the first kind of...
It's probably important to see how it sort of... Who wants to race in the first couple of laps, I think. You can't really tell what anyone's going to do. So, it could be the strongest couple guys sort of all go in the first couple laps and that's the day over sort of thing, or who knows. I think it sort of the start list definitely points towards a pretty open race, so it'll probably good one to watch anyway.
What's your own shape like just now? How's your kind of winter/summer training going?
Yeah, it's been going really well. I've been training well. So, I'm happy with how my shape is for this time of the year. But the other thing is I haven't raced for a while as well. So can go out and do good training and all that. But until you race, you sort of don't know what you're missing. But I think my shape's good and, as good as it has been any other year. So just have to see how the race pans out. And I think it's unlike other years. It'll be nice to have a teammate with me as well, especially the likes of Rowan. It's it's a pretty handy person to have as a teammate.
How hard is it to ride as a solo rider?
I think it has been quite tricky, especially against Bike Exchange, just because, yeah, they really can do their own race, but then sort of, you know, try and mark you out of the race, if that makes sense. Like, I think for the past 2 years, I think there's always been a guy who's maybe their job for the day is to sort of just follow you around and, if you jump across to a break, they're always on your wheel sort of thing, but they're never prepared to sort of ride with you or anything like that. It's more just marking you out of the race. So it is tricky when you're solo, but yeah, I mean, lots of guys have won the race as solo riders, like Hausler, Jack Bobridge won it when he was solo with Trek, but he won it in pretty spectacular fashion. So I don't think I'll be doing that, but yeah, it is tricky.
What was behind your decision not to ride the TT?
I had a family commitment that I had to attend. Unfortunately, someone within the family passed away, so the funeral wasn't until the day before the time trial, which is why I didn't come and do that. So, yeah.
Ah, sorry to hear that, mate. Looking at your results at this race, they're pretty spectacular. So third in 2018, when you and Edmondson were kind of solo and it was looking like a two-hour sprint and he won, and then Jay McCarthy came past you. Second the next year in 2019, where you actually beat Meyer in the sprint, which was amazing, but Freeberg had managed to come past you in the end. And then you were seventh in 2020 and 10th last year. Do you think this year is a big chance for you?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I like the course for sure. I'd love it if it was 5 degrees hotter, but I'd get that. I do like the course. So I think it also, I enjoy racing, and maybe the last 2 years I've been a bit over enthusiastic and used a bit too much energy too early. I think it's always a good opportunity on a course like this for me. So yeah, I hope I'm feeling good tomorrow and work something out good with Rowan, and we can try get one of us on the top step.
And then looking towards the rest of the season, when do you head back over to Europe?
My first race at the moment's UAE Tour. So last year I went back to Europe to catch a charter flight to the UAE. I'm hoping this year I can do another couple of weeks of training at home, in the heat and that before, and then travel straight to UAE for that. That'll be the ideal scenario. And then after that, I'll head back to Europe from there and start my season over there.
Is it the Giro again this year for you?
Yep, I'll be down to do the Giro. So third time lucky.
How did you find that last through. Year?
I didn't do it last year. The year before we started, but then we had a positive case in the team. So we were done after the first rest day. And then last year I had an injury and I didn't even make the start. So, third time lucky. Hopefully get the whole way through.
Looking forward to this one. And UAE Tour last year went really well. You were in the split and the crosswinds in the first stage. And what was it, top 10 overall at the end?
Yeah. Last year I was fourth overall in the end in UAE. So, yeah, it was a good start to the season. And I guess, the Aussie summer, I think, definitely helps that, being able to get a good hard day in the legs at Nationals. And then also last year we had the Festival of Cycling, which was another 3 or 4 days of good racing.
Are you doing that this year?
Yeah, I'll do that this year. Rowan and I will both do it, actually, as long as it all goes ahead with COVID and everything. Everyone's always guessing now what events will go ahead and what won't. But yeah, I'll do that again. And looks like it should be a good 4 days of racing.
Yeah, a nice crack up Wollonga to finish it off.
Yeah. They love Wollonga. we love Buninyong and we love Wollonga.
So do we. Well, Chris, thanks very much for giving it your time today. I hope it goes well for you tomorrow. I hope you can eventually get that top step for yourself.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.